Good evening, and welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands featuring Buddy Morrow. The swinging Buddy Morrow Trombone and Orchestra, our musical guests, tonight till 10 on a one-night stand with the big bands. Good evening, everybody. This is Arnold Dane. Tonight we'll reminisce on Buddy Morrow's childhood and early years in New Haven, Connecticut, and we'll play records by some of the bands with which he'd been featured over a great musical career. A one-night stand is brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International, where you'll find quality cars and dependable service at fair prices. And we'll meet Buddy Morrow in just a moment. The 1974 Nova doesn't pretend to be anything it isn't, and it's proud to be everything it is. Sensibly sized, good-looking, low-priced, well-built. And Russo Chevrolet thinks the 74 Nova is the car for today. Besides appealing to the economizer, the Nova makes a hit with luxury lovers and sport fans, too. At Russo, you'll find a wide selection of 6- and 8-cylinder Novas with 2, 3, and 4 doors and standard or automatic transmissions. And you may be surprised to find that the Chevy Nova can sell for a lot less than the so-called economy imports. See the car for today, the 74 Nova at Russo Chevrolet, where you can count on first-class sales and service.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet
is just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit off I-91, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. And now on to our conversation, which we recorded just a couple of weeks ago at the Manhattan apartment of Buddy Morrow. We caught him just in time, incidentally. He was packing to head south with his wife and their child, and they're about to spend a combination working and vacation session in the South Florida area with a number of musical appearances and a whole lot of sunshine on the Morrow agenda for the next few weeks. And we began the conversation by expressing to Buddy the fact that we have never interviewed a big band celebrity who has more people who say that they are friends of his up here in southern New England. I don't think, Buddy, I've ever met so many people who say, by golly, I remember him way back when. When, for example, he was Mo Zudikoff.
Well, it happens to be true. I remember I started out with playing with a band. I think Frankie Dunrow was one of the guys. That's just kid stuff. And another one was Charlie White and Blue Jackets. But when I started playing professionally around New Haven, I worked for Eddie Wittstein. He's still in New Haven.
Yes.
Still working, I understand.
Yes, absolutely.
He's a great old man, and I shouldn't call him an old man. He's very vigorous, and I learned an awful lot from him. And, of course, there was Bolton and Cipriano, the two guys who had orchestras who were in competition with Wittstein, and then there was Cy Bayer, and Harry Berman, Warden Berman, had orchestras at the time. And, of course, Eddie Brennan, who taught trumpet, but he was always around when I had questions. I studied with Daniel Carboni, trombone, New Haven. So I have many, many friends there. I think Arnold Most, who has bands there now, working around New Haven. And of course, the Costanzas, they're famous
in
New Haven.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
probably get tired of what kind of a guy was questions, but how was Eddie Duchin to work for? Did the movies do his life?
Gee, you know, anywhere? I never saw the movie.
Is that right?
I understand it was kind of modeling and everything else, but he was very nice to work for. And, of course, we worked in all the finest places in the country. And when you traveled with him, why, it was always the best, you know. We had a Pullman car all our own. And, heck, there weren't that many of us, so everyone had a lore, which was a sign of status at the time. Mm-hmm. And that Pullman would travel with us. We'd be doing one-nighters. We'd do the one-nighter, and we'd come back to the railroad station, climb on the Pullman. If there was a, we were always told whether there'd be a dining car or not, so we'd eat before or starve, you know, one of those things.
Yeah. As musicians, I guess all of you went through that at one time or another, too. Artie Shaw was aware of your trombone ability, and did he hire you away from Duchin? How did that work?
Well, actually, Artie was responsible for my coming to New York, and he was in need of another trombone player. And he got me an audition with Tommy Dorsey, and he was going to get Tommy's trombone player because he didn't know how well I played or anything about me, except I was highly recommended by Bunny Berrigan, who had heard me on a jam session. As a youngster, I came down to New York. We had done some dates out on Long Island with the Yale Collegians, and they, in turn, went back to New Haven by way of New York instead of taking the ferry boat from Patchogue into Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. They made the circuitous deal here, and I got my chance to play on 52nd Street, which was just alive with musicians and places to play. And I remember that afternoon, guys like Harry James, who was at that time a sideman with Benny Goodman and Ziggy Alvin, and Harry's wife at the time, I think, was the singer, Louise Tobin, mm-hmm. who's now married to Pina Taco, by the way. Mm-hmm. But anyway, these people were there sitting in, and just Artie Shaw, and anyone you can think of. They'd make the rounds from one spot to another, to another, to another. It was just 24 hours of jazz anytime you wanted it.
Fantastic.
You know, I bet there were about easily 40 to 50 places within a two-block span on 52nd Street.
And none of them exists anymore.
No, not a single one. They're all gone. There are big buildings there, and I guess they call it progress.
Yeah, in some
progress for everyone except the music business.
Yeah, unfortunately. So were you a little nervous about auditioning for one of the great trombone men, Tommy Dorsey?
No, I wasn't nervous a bit, really.
What was an audition like? Did he just ask you to ad lib something and show you the band book?
No, he sat me in the band, said, okay, play the first trombone chair.
Ah.
And naturally, Tommy always was right on top of the trombones as far as position. He liked if we were playing quartet or something while you're rubbing shoulders and practically tangling slides. So he knew it was in the first book, as every leader does. I found that later on when I had my own band. You get so that, guy's a genius, listen to his ears. That's a lot of baloney. You know the arrangement backwards, so if anyone, if a chair scratches or squeals, it just happens to leap out at you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that you've got this phenomenal ear where you can tell immediately upon hearing something that this is wrong or that's wrong. And he said, you want to leave school? And I said, no, I didn't at that time. And Artie was able to get a trombone player for himself and didn't necessitate the switch that Artie thought he would have to make. But on his advice, I did come to New York with a big fat $34 in my pocket, which was supposed to last me 2 weeks. It did.
You finally joined Artie Shaw before his big hit of Begin to Begin.
I joined the band that was made up of the string quartet and an enlarged Dixieland band. Instead of having one trumpet, he had two trumpets. But essentially, that's what it was. It was a string quartet, rhythm section, four-man rhythm section, and two trumpets, one trombone and tenor sax. And that was it.
That's the great sound of the early Artie Shaw, and something that he called his new music, by the way, Art Shaw and his new music. You're listening to A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. This is your host, Arnold Dane, and you are tuned to WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut. Tonight's program is being brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. The 1974 Nova doesn't pretend to be anything it isn't, and it's proud to be everything it is. Sensibly sized, good-looking, low-priced, well-built. And Russo Chevrolet thinks the 74 Nova is the car for today. Besides appealing to the economizer, the Nova makes a hit with luxury lovers and sport fans, too. At Russo, you'll find a wide selection of 6- and 8-cylinder Novas with 2, 3, and 4 doors and standard or automatic transmissions. And you may be surprised to find that the Chevy Nova can sell for a lot less than the so-called economy imports. See the car for today, the 74 Nova, at Russo Chevrolet, where you can count on first-class sales and service.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
Russo Chevrolet is just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit off I-91, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Now let's resume our conversation with our special guest on A One-Night Stand, Buddy Morrow. Buddy, let's go back to Artie Shaw and your association with him. Was he difficult to work for? What kind of a guy was Artie Shaw?
He was a great organizer, a great disciplinarian, and he inspired me very, very much. As a matter of fact, when I look back, his advice to me was excellent. I was a little late in taking his advice. I should have listened to him immediately, but the kind of experience he urged me to get in later years as I matured, I realized it could have been fantastic at the time. It was the kind of thing. In other words, he was trying to tell me as a youngster, don't close your mind to all the great jazz that's going about you. See, I figured I was and have been always a very solid commercial player who specialized in being able to do everything and do it well. And Shaw said, you have innately the other qualities that you should try to project and get into your playing. And the only way you learn to play jazz and play great jazz is by being a part of it.
How long did you stay with a band leader like Vincent Lopez, for example?
Oh, it was about 6 months.
Now, he, I understand, could be a little difficult to work for.
Well, he couldn't hear. He couldn't see. And you could be on the
I've heard his music, and I swear sometimes he couldn't hear either.
Well, he's a nice old man. But the funny thing is, you'd be in the orchestra, and try to remember your name, or he'd look at you. What's his name? I was a Peck's bad boy when I was with him, anyway. He used to ask the contractor, who was Nick Pisani. He said, hey, Nick, is that guy crazy? He said, I'm just a nutty kid, you know. And in a commercial band, they want any nonsense. They want you to just play what's there and get it over with and get lost.
Of course, the thing with Lopez, you didn't have to travel an awful lot.
No, but I left the band when he went to the coast. He got some program or something. He went out to California, and I decided to stay here in New York.
Let's listen to the music of that band we were talking about, Vincent Lopez. This is called You Bring Me Music. Thank you.
You played with another band that many people would look at and say, gee, maybe that was a mistake, it wasn't a great jazz band, Richard Himber.
Well, that was, once again, an expedient thing. He did have good music, and he had a couple radio shows, which helped, and financially was excellent. He always had great musicians. He's a real character, but he had fine musicians with him.
Your next big band that I have, as I follow the list chronologically, is Tommy Dorsey, and that was one of the great ones.
Oh, that was a fantastic step for me, as I learned so very much. You know, I learned great control and, of course, respect for a man who knew how to rehearse a band and put it together. And you had to respect his demand for nothing but great performance.
For both Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, of course, the cornet or trumpet was the basic instrument, although their later fame came on other instruments. Tommy, as we mentioned, on trombone, and Jimmy on sax and alto saxophone and clarinet. The recording that we're about to hear was done June 1st of 1939. It's from an old Tyrone Power Sonia Henie movie called Second Fiddle, and it's one of the very few times that Tommy Dorsey turned to the trumpet in a recording session with his own band. Edith Wright is featured on the vocal. This is called Back to Back.
Your partner at all when you dance back to back. That's that new attack that the other dancers lack. You can see what goes on in the hall when you dance back to back. Your partner won't see you make eyes at who dances by. Your partner won't mind it, she's doing the same. That's why you must dance back to back. Let me place you in the pack. Cut the cards and I'll deal you a queen and a jack. Back to back.
I was with Tommy about, I'd say, 9 months, and then like everyone else, he was going to school, and I wanted to stay in town. There was a great opportunity with Paul Whiteman. Jack Teagarden had just left the band, and Whiteman was searching for a trombone player, and I got a tremendous offer from him. You know, the kind, as they say, you can't refuse, so... had a long talk with Tommy. He said, well, if it's music you want, and this was almost the same thing as Shaw, he said, we'll give you great music and you'll be one of the greats. He said, if you want to make money and stuff, Paul Whiteman's the band, you know. Paul could pay more money than anybody. So I went with Paul Whiteman.
Let's listen to a Paul Whiteman recording made at just about that time and featuring the incomparable Billie Holiday on the vocal. This is called Travelin' Light. Thank you.
'cause my man has gone, and from now on I'm traveling light. He said goodbye and took my
CBS. I went on staff. Started doing a lot of freelance work as well. And then from that band, I decided I want to go to California because I'd been there several times, and I figured, well, Bob Crosby's going out to the coast, and I want to settle there anyway. So it's a good opportunity. He's going to be there for at least a year, which meant at that time I could get my union card, but they don't have that sort of restriction anymore because of the Fair Trade Act and the Taft-Hartley laws and everything else. So I went to California, and I'd gotten married by then, and with Bob Crosby. And I spent a very happy year out there in that period while the war broke out. And when they called my number from New York, I hustled back here and took family and everything else. On the service. I got out of the service, I started doing commercial work again, and decided, well, I really want a band. So I joined Jimmy Dorsey, who was going to feature me, which he did quite a bit, and give me billing, plus a very good salary. And after spending about a year with Jimmy, not quite a year, but I'd say 10 months, I went out on my own. It was a disaster. The times may have been good and everything else, but a band leader should know what he wants to project, what he wants to settle for, and the kind of music he wants to play. And within him, there should be some concept of the sound of the music, so that they call it a style or a gimmick or anything else. But you should be able to, any of the bands that were around at the time, you'd listen to them about two or three bars, you knew who it was immediately. They're that individual.
That's right. Yeah.
Shaw, Goodman, Woody Herman, Tommy's band, Dorsey's, and even Jimmy's band had distinction. Les Brown had a particular sound. Each of these bands, you could hear just a few bars and say, ah, that's him. You know, even Kenton had his own bit going. I can give you 1,000 reasons why the first band didn't go.
Well, who did your arrangements, buddy? Did you do them yourself?
No. Ed Herzog did a lot of the stuff. Bernie Leighton did quite a bit. As I said, I really didn't know which way I wanted to go or what I wanted. And there were probably a lot of other reasons, but I was inexperienced. I was still young. And so when I ran out of money, I decided that's it. And I got out of the band business, never thinking I'd ever be back in it.
Now, you organized that band, though, what, around the mid-40s,
about 45, right after the war.
Well, that was a tough time to organize a band because there were so many others at that point who had been successful,
sure,
that were breaking
up. Right. Anyway, after 4 years of not doing anything, 1951, I was offered a chance to record for RCA Victor. And, well, we kind of jumped the gun because we thought we really had something going. But it wasn't until we had Night Train that things that put me on, as I said, I stumbled on a pattern. That was the rhythm and blues tunes that were coming out that started to become very big. And we would make them for big band. And because of Victor's tremendous distribution, this is before your 1,000 small companies. Now, of course, they look for the artist and the label rather than have the label covering the whole thing and swamping the country.
Yeah.
So we had the distinct advantage of doing Night Train, One Mint Julep, Hey Mrs. Jones, Got You On My Mind, a whole flock of things, one after another. With this came the Buddy Morrow Orchestra, which has been going on for about 20 years and about 25 albums.
The genius of Buddy Morrow with his trombone and orchestra and that old black magic. Buddy, tell us all about Night Train. Where did you get the idea from, and did you stumble on that particular sound?
The thing was, we had been in the band business at that period for a year, and I said, oh, well, okay, I got my contacts and people that I knew, and I said, oh, I think I'm going to dump the thing when I get back from California, just have this one extended road tour, and that's it. I've dropped enough money in the thing and forget it, you know. So I was ready to go back on the Perry Como show and a few other things I'd been doing, which was a pretty lucrative living. And on the way to California, I stopped in to see a very dear friend of mine, a disc jockey, Ed McKenzie. I said, Ed, we have a date in California. And I didn't know this was supposed to be my last date for Victor, but it had been decided by them that, forget it, this is it, we'll fill the contract and dump him. So I asked him if anything was happening out, you know, record-wise. He said, well, buddy, I've got a thing here. It's been kicking around for about 6 months, and it just won't die. He said, it's a rhythm and blues tune. I don't know if you do that sort of thing. So I said, well, he said, well, it features tenor. I said, great, I'll give him my tenor man. He's bugging me. He wants an arrangement that features him when we get to California. He writes anyway. I'll give it to Buddy Balbo and say, hey, buddy, make yourself a crazy arrangement and stop bothering me. And I set up my own thing. I was my own engineer, practically. I set it up, and we tried to get a sound which could be duplicated in the ballroom. And we staggered the saxophone so you get that triplet effect. The baritone would play the first two notes, bump, bump, up, and inside the tenor man would be right in the middle, bump, 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 bump. That's where you get the different sound. And to try to get a tight studio sound, we had everyone on mic, and the drums were the only things in echo chamber. And that's how the thing was made.
Now, buddy, naturally we're going to listen to Night Train, but we are not going to play that original recording. I think we've all heard that hundreds of times, and you've played it probably thousands of times before. I'd like to recall one instead that was based on it fairly authentically, but done with the early 60s sound, and renamed just slightly to the Night Train Twist. Short and Swinging, Night Train Twist by Buddy Morrow, our special guest tonight on a one-night stand with the big bands. The 1974 Nova doesn't pretend to be anything it isn't, and it's proud to be everything it is. Sensibly sized, good-looking, low-priced, well-built. And Russo Chevrolet thinks the 74 Nova is the car for today. Besides appealing to the economizer, the Nova makes a hit with luxury lovers and sport fans, too. At Russo, you'll find a wide selection of 6- and 8-cylinder Novas with 2, 3, and 4 doors and standard or automatic transmissions. And you may be surprised to find that the Chevy Nova can sell for a lot less than the so-called economy imports. See the car for today, the 74 Nova at Russo Chevrolet, where you can count on first-class sales and service.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
Russo Chevrolet is just minutes from Hartford. Take the Bradley exit off I-91, then your first exit to Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Back to Buddy Morrow now. And Buddy, the band business is certainly in a pretty sad state right now. And I wonder about any advice that you may have for young people who are interested in a musical career. Is classical music the only field open?
No. I would say one thing, to be serious about it, be aware that it's going to be a tough grind and that there's a lot of room at the top, but there's no room for mediocrity. It's a fantastic honeymoon, but a rotten wedding or marriage.
Well said. Buddy, let's back up again and listen to another of the great favorites that your band recorded, and it sold one or two copies for you, as I remember, known by two titles, the ABC song, or more popularly, I Can't Give You Anything But Love.
I can't give you anything but love.
Nothing else, baby, that's all I got.
That's the only thing I've plenty of.
I've got plenty of nothing, baby.
Dream a while,
and
scheme a while.
Then what?
We're sure to find,
if you're looking for it,
happiness.
Hooray!
And I guess,
guess what?
All those things you've always pined for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell.
Baby, you're beautiful.
Diamond bracelets Woolworth doesn't sell.
Better go to Tiffany's to buy them, baby.
Till that lucky day, you know darn well.
Now you're talking, baby,
baby. I can't give you anything but
L-O-V-E. A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z and A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z. A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z. Till that L U C K Y day, lucky day.
B A B Y.
Baby, I can't give you anything but L.
There's a great big band hit, I Can't Give You Anything But Love, by the original Buddy Morrow Orchestra. Time for us to wrap up this one-night stand tonight, and we do it musically, just the way we opened our program, with the Morrow Band and the Memphis Drag. To quote from one of the musical authorities, thanks to the impetus provided by the appeal of Night Train, the Morrow Band has been productively employed, delighting dancers and listeners for more than two decades now. Night Train has supplied some of the transportation on the road to success, but the Morrow Band is a multifaceted, many-splendored crew with a repertoire that ranges from the sublime to the swinging. We'll be right back. Our thanks to our special guest, Buddy Morrow, and to that swinging trombone and orchestra featured on A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. Our location engineer tonight was Mike Russell, our studio engineer, Bob Schirago. This program was edited and produced by Brian Hartnett and brought to you by WTIC and by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International, where you can count on satisfaction in sales and service. This is Arnold Dean on A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands.